Worse than now, so it was really hard for me.
No, your English is great. Look at you, just on the NPR radio interview. And it was only, what, 2 years ago that you first came to the U.S. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
How did your family feel when you told them that you were thinking of coming to the U.S. for boarding school?
They always support me, but they were kind of worried because it would be my first time leaving my country for more than like a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really close to them, but I always call them like every night. Also, coming here means a really big financial effort for my family. So my grandparents, they're also helping me.
It's great to know that they've got your back.
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about your musical influences. Growing up in Peru, did you listen to Peruvian music? And was the style of clarinet playing any different there than what you've been trained in now here at Interlaken?
I started playing clarinet in my middle school. Sometimes we did stuff like marching band, but we mostly did dances and music from Peru. And yeah, the playing in Peru, it's different from here. Just that the way we play the instrument, like not in the musicality and not the phrasing. I think that's a general idea around the world.
Yes.
It was more like how I blew the instrument, like where I put my tongue and all these technical things that I had to change a little bit. I feel like it was an improvement, so I'm really happy for it.
Well, that's great. Joaquin, you've experienced so much change in your life. But one thing that I know has been a constant for you is your love of football, or, you know, soccer, as we call it here.
Yeah, that's true. I grew up watching football, as everybody in my country is like part of the culture. And here in Interlaken, I got to meet some people also from another countries that also enjoy football in the World Cup. It was like really fun to watch those games. We also play football together here in Interlaken.
That's great. And a little bit of healthy competition is a good thing. I think you've said that there's a bit of good, healthy competition at Interlaken musically, too, that there are people who you can look up to and you kind of inspire each other.
Yeah, here in Interlaken, everybody plays amazing. So, yeah, I think that helped me a lot to improve my playing.
Yeah, I think it's so great to be in an environment where everyone around you is inspiring you to just be better and keep growing. Before we go, I have to congratulate you. You're one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. That's so great, and we're really happy to support you.
Thank you so much.
What are you planning to do with the funds from the scholarship, or do you know yet?
I already use the funds, and one of the biggest things, I got my A clarinet that is helping me now to play in orchestra, to play pieces that require that instrument. I don't know if everybody knows, but clarinet players usually have two clarinets or more. These are the clarinet in B flat and the clarinet in A.
Right. Could you help our listeners understand why that is?
I think it is because sometimes the tuning on an A or B flat helps the clarinets to make the music easier in some way,
right,
for the key and stuff like that. But it's like a really nice clarinet. I'm really thankful for the prize.
That's great. We're so happy to help support you. Joaquin, we're so glad that you came to perform for us today. It was a really fantastic rendition of that Malcolm Arnold sonatina, and you just brought it to life for us. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the invitation. It was such a nice experience.
18-year-old clarinetist Joaquin Chavez, originally from Peru, now living and studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy. Speaking of exploring new territory, now we get to meet 17-year-old pianist Eric Zhang from Bedford, Massachusetts, who is in the midst of his own musical exploration. Eric, welcome to From the Top.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You've got a really cool piece which sort of straddles the worlds of classical and jazz. What are you going to play for us?
I will be playing the seventh piece from Friedrich Gulda's Play Piano Play.
Friedrich Gulda was an artist who was just as much a jazz pianist as he was a classical pianist. The piece that you're going to be performing for us is certainly more along the lines of the jazz style. Curious if you could talk a little bit about how you found this piece and why is it that you feel this is the music that represents where you're at right now?
It all started a couple of years ago. I was...
Do you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the making of From the Top? This season, From the Top is recording in studios around the country. We'll be visiting New York, Boston, Austin, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. And we're giving some lucky folks guest passes to watch our recording sessions in action. Visit fromthetop.org/beourguest to sign up and learn more.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From Jarl and Pamela Moan, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from Imaginable Futures, celebrating the hard work, commitment, and achievements of the 1 in 5 college students who are parents. More at imaginablefutures.com.
On From the Top, we're meeting musicians on the cusp of finding their own voice. For some of these young artists, that means having to wrestle with the legacy of the classical music canon while embracing their love of other genres. It's certainly a topic I think about a lot, and so does Miles, the musician we're going to meet right now. Miles, welcome to From the Top.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to perform together. What are we going to be playing?
We're going to be playing John Williams' Elegy for cello and orchestra, but cello and piano.
This is a really moving piece. Tell me what you love about it.
Obviously, it's an elegy, so it's about loss. And I think it's a really cellistic composition. It carries through all the registers and really gives you a sense of what the cello can do.
Yeah, and you really know how to make the instrument cry. You know, I've been enjoying rehearsing this so much. Whenever you're ready, let's take this from the top.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you.
That was 16-year-old cellist Miles Levine performing John Williams' Elegy for cello and orchestra, or in this case, piano. I'm Peter Dugan, and I had the honor of joining Miles on the piano. Miles, I just love playing that piece with you, and I have to say I'm so impressed by the way you control that bow arm. I could listen all the way to the end of the note as it was just getting tinier and the sound still had spin in it. I know how difficult it is to do that, and it was gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much.
I feel like you're the kind of player who really puts all of your passion into it. Something that I know you and I have in common is our love of all kinds of music. We just jammed out on that John Williams, but you're also a fan of jazz, of Latin music, funk music.
Yeah. When I'm not in a classical mood, I've been playing a lot of Corey Wong.
Oh, yeah.
It's uplifting music. I think it's good to keep you in a good mood.
I know that you feel like the whole term of classical music is maybe problematic or just needs to be shaken up. Talk to me a little bit about your feelings on that.
Yeah. So I'm part of the group that thinks that the term classical music should be changed to something else, because the classical era is like a tiny portion of,
yeah,
of
all the... Yeah, it's Mozart, Haydn.
Exactly.
It's the classical era, yeah.
And there's so much more out there. Think of Florence Price, like Turina, or a lot of these... I'm a big fan of the 20th century kind of sound, and I think that it just needs to be redefined in that way.
The example I always give is if you think about Schubert and Nina Simone, I think there's a lot more in common there than Schubert and Milton Babbitt.
Right? Yeah.
Let's jump to a totally different topic here. Mm-hmm. Think tanks. You've been doing research. How did this all get started?
Well, I'm taking a research course at my school.
Uh-huh.
I remember reading a couple of investigative reports on, I think it was Brookings and Heritage in the Times, but I kind of realized how much sway these organizations have over public opinion and public policy. So this summer, basically, I'm working with the chair of the political science department at the University of Western Ontario, Dr. Donald Abelson, looking at the relationship between kind of typologies. There's like a classical typology of think tanks in the U.S., their output, and then where they receive their funding.
What do you mean by these typologies?
So there's a paper written by Weaver in 1989 where he defines three classical types